In time, you will know what it's like to lose. To feel so desperately that you're right, yet to fail all the same. Dread it. Run from it. Destiny still arrives.
Evacuate the city. Engage all defenses. And get this man a shield.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Discussing Comics, and we are talking Avengers Infinity War tonight. So, welcome back, Clarence Brown. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just said, let's just nix the whole intro and just go directly into this movie, because it was that freaking awesome.
It was pretty good. Pretty good. So, is it the best Marvel experience you have had in the theater? I want to know that, sir.
You know what? I don't know if it was the best Marvel experience, but I will tell you that it was, I just went away wanting more. You know, that I liked the way that they ended it. What about yourself?
You liked the way that they ended it?
I absolutely liked the way they ended it.
So if you want to look back in your past movie history, has the same feeling ever been evoked by any movie that you have ever seen in the theater?
Yep, absolutely. Battlestar Galactica. No, that's funny.
I didn't know that went to theaters. Wow.
Yeah. No, it was, The Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. Okay.
So should we give the spoiler warning before we go any further?
Do your thing.
All right. So if you've not seen this movie, go out, get some Infinity Stones and turn back time or speed up time, whatever you want to do, because from henceforth, spoilers. So yeah, we didn't, you know, we went on different days, and I tell you, when I left out of the theater, the first thing I did was record a mumbled, jumbled, audio that you did not listen to even if for the first day, right?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about these properties that have been adapted from books, comics, etc., I guess it's a little heavy to say you don't want to be spoiled. I mean, I think, even if you don't know this story intimately, you kind of know what happens to the heroes in this story. So I went in very much knowing that. But other than that, I did not want any details. You know, we've seen the trailer, the TV spots, and I've even been trying to avoid them as much as I can. But once I get past that, I really did not want to know anything else about the movie.
So I have a question for you. Sure. Were you able to get all the way and not be spoiled?
I mean, again, as much as you cannot be spoiled by something that came out over 20 years ago in comic form. Yeah, I think I was pretty much unspoiled. Yeah.
All right, cool. So as was I.
I know you seek out those things, though.
No, I really don't. I mean,
I put them like the plague.
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I will read. Now, true enough, if I see something Doctor Who, you know, that there's pictures while filming, I'll look at that. But if there's something to where, you know, it's a day before and I'm about to watch movie or episode or what, no, I don't want to be spoiled in that context. And I was actually a little bit surprised because I was not expecting them to adapt it as well and as accurately as they did.
So you speak of accuracies in the adaptation into the movie. Was there anything that you saw right off that just felt like a blaring inaccuracy that just didn't sit right with you?
No, actually, I can't complain about this movie, and you like to tell me sometimes I like to complain about things, and I can't complain about this movie. What about you? Did you have any?
Well, as far as, I mean, again, I only loosely know the base material, so hey, I was fine. But I will say you don't like to complain. You very adamantly complain about a said, after movie sequence that we saw in the Justice League movie. And I'm wondering that the, you know, we've dropped the spoiler bumper, but I'm wondering if this movie, if the after credit scene, which mind you, they did the long game because it was a long credit sequence that you had to wait for this, it also invoked the same feeling you got from a Jesse Eisenberg / Lex Luthor?
All right, so I'm going to ask you a quick question. What do you think? No. I really want to know, because I want to know, what do you think my answer is going to be?
I don't know. That's why I asked you.
Okay, because I really don't. Okay, well, my answer is.
I mean, it's a leading question.
It is a leading question, right, but
let's go ahead.
Okay, but no, it did not give me the same haterade. It actually, to be honest with you, made me want to say, prove me wrong.
Okay.
Really?
Which I've been telling you for the longest, it's probably going to be pretty good. Now, just before we get into the Infinity War, we already know that the Captain Marvel movie is going to be placed in the 90s. And to give away this end sequence, again, we've dropped the spoiler bumper. What's his name? Wow.
I had a mind for it. Nick Fury.
It's Nick Fury. Wow. Samuel Jackson. Nick Fury has a beeper of some sort, a communicator thingy, which beeper, it looks like a beeper.
Yes, it does. And it even had, it felt like even, you know, the image that we felt, I mean, saw looked like something out of the 90s.
And so why does he have this beeper looking thing from the 90s? And does it have the ability to communicate across time? We know Samuel Jackson is going to be in the movie. So I'm just intrigued about how they're going to actually make that work.
Yeah, I'm intrigued on how, you know, she's going to fit into this story, how they're going to. Yeah. And, you know, so let me say this. Let me go on record and say in this, I used to like Carol, and it wasn't until the last 2 or 3 years that I've had this haterade for her. And whoever wrote that book that made, you know, the Civil War that made me dislike her. So kudos to them.
But you know what? Let's talk about that haterade for a minute to make another 90s reference that nobody knows about. You know, we talk about Danvers and this position she has against what we think of the establishment superheroes are, which I think is one of the large reasons you don't like her. But we see glimpses of that all through this movie. We see where Doctor Strange is pretty much going up against Iron Man throughout this entire movie. So I don't want to just single her out as being the one. And it makes me feel you doing it because she's a woman, but but we see that same type of thing going on even in this newest Infinity War movie. So to say you don't like her because she has a bit of an attitude, she is taking charge, she is going against the grain. I don't know.
Okay, but let me say this: I have known her as a comic character literally since I started reading the X-Men. So that's been back to the 80s, and I've always liked her character. There's never been any dislike for her character. I actually bought her books before, the Miss Marvel books when she was Miss Marvel. It was just in that story, and Marvel has even to some point acknowledged that they made some mistakes by taking this character so out of character.
Okay, that was my issue. So, again, let me relate it back to this current Infinity War movie. We see where Doctor Strange basically says in so many words, Peter Parker, I don't give a crap about you. Iron Man, I don't give a crap about you. It's all about my duty to protect this gem or the earth or whatever he said in the movie. So
you want to know what the difference is?
Sure, go for it.
I've never really been a fan one way or the other of Doctor Strange. And I really did. So that tells you I did like Carol as a character. So
well,
for
I'm
me,
just saying, that part is very similar. That's what I'm saying.
Agree. Totally agree. You are 100% right there. The parallels are exactly the same, actually. But the difference was I had an emotional investment of liking this character, and she went so off the rails, whereas the other was somebody I could never really cared for one way or the other.
All right. Well, you said off the rails. So let's talk about off the rails for a little bit. Do you think this movie, and I brought this up in the last part, do you think this movie has a scene that was just too much or jumped the shark? For me, I'll go ahead and give you mine. For me, that scene, well, that thing may have been the Iron Man nanobots. It felt just a little bit too video gamey to me, though I thought it was cool. I like how they use it for Iron Man himself as well as Spider-Man, but it almost seem too futuristic. I don't know.
Well, he's had so coming from the comic perspective, he's had suits do that before. So he's gone away from, you know, the whole, you know, the suit coming on. Well, he actually did have a suit come on to him, like fall in love with him, but that's a whole different storyline altogether. But the whole nanotechnology thing, yeah, we've seen that before. So from my perspective, I just thought it was like, wow, that looks cool. I like the sleekness of it and all of that.
Yeah, but it's almost like a god suit in a way. This reminds me of Terminator. He could pretty much create any weapon he wanted to at any time. It's the perfect movie trope or thing to have to do cool stuff. So, hey, I give him that.
You know, if they would have turned him silver and put another actor in there and only covered up half of his face, that was what Cyborg should have looked like.
No.
All right. Well, there we go. So did you enjoy the movie before we actually kind of get into it? What was your enjoyment level out of 1 to 10?
My enjoyment level was very much on the higher end of the spectrum, 9, 10, somewhere in there. I loved it. And again, we mentioned the ending of the movie and the feelings it evoked, but not only at the end, but the feelings it evoked throughout the movie as a whole. I mean, when Cap comes on screen, the theater's cheering. when Black Panther comes on screen, the theater is cheering. You know, several moments like that. And I really felt in that aspect, the movie largely lived up to its hype. I just think that overall it invoked a good feeling throughout. And this movie played with emotions more than any comic book movie should, and the ending, wow. But we'll get into that.
All right.
What about you?
Well, let's go to the beginning, because that was the moment where I text you and I said something like OMG from the very beginning or something like that, because that was the moment in the movie that I was like, they're not taking prisoners and they're, you know, this is going to be pretty high stakes here, because we see, you know, the last.
Really? Is it really high stakes?
I didn't expect them the happy, cause think about it. We've both talked about how happy the Thor movie was, right? With the Hulk.
Pure fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pure fun. And it has this happy ending with everybody on the ship. And again, hearkening back to Empire Strikes Back, it kind of reverses, because they were, you know, looking out from the ship, Luke and Leia, because they were going to go find Han. So that was how that one ended. This one began with a ship that we had seen very happily, literally destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much strikes a different tone for, I would think, for comic book movies, when you see just a sea of dead bodies being trampled upon or walked over in the opening sequences of a movie. So, yeah, that was a stark change from what we've seen in the past.
So how do you think this movie, as far as Thor's predominance or as a character, do you think this upped the ante a little bit of his popularity, of the way he was portrayed in this movie?
Man, you could almost think of this movie as Thor 4 in a lot of ways, because I don't know. I think they're trying to make Thor Marvel Superman in a large sense. And that's what it felt like to me, because, I mean, I think that was echoed by the fact that when he comes to Wakanda, and pretty much once he gets there, they're like, oh, okay, we have a chance to win now. We have Thor. And he's very much that god character that we don't see a whole lot on the Marvel side versus on the DC side. So, yeah, he's that god character who pretty much can face anything and survive. So I don't know. I think it upped his ante just a little bit more. Though I thought the eye was kind of cheesy. I didn't like how he got his eye back.
Yeah, I didn't either. I thought it was quite cheesy.
I thought it'd be magic or something. I wish it would have been, but.
Yeah, that was just a little kind of. But it goes back to that comedy that he had in his movie, and he was just having it with the Guardians this time. So,
yeah. So let me ask: was the comedy too much for you? Because I think most of the comedy side we got was definitely on the Guardians / Thor interactions. Peter had a little bit of it, but mostly I think on Thor Guardians interactions. So, what did you think about the comedy? Because they droned on for a while in some sequences on their ship of just comedic moments.
Okay, so let me put it this. So let me frame it this way. Not put it this way. Frame it this way. If they would have been on Earth, in Wakanda, in New York, in wherever they may have been, if the Guardians had been on Earth with Thor and they knew what was going on and so forth and so forth. And even though Thor had the destruction of the ship and his people, etc., I didn't think it was too much. I just thought that was him dealing with the rabbit. You know, I just thought that was kind of cool. What about you? Yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I mean, right now it's kind of to be expected in a Marvel movie. I think I made a statement. I definitely like it here versus a Star Wars movie. To me, in Star Wars, it just doesn't fit the modern company in large part. But, you know, we've established the fact that the Guardians are funny and like to dance. In Thor 3, we kind of changed a little bit. We established the fact that Thor can be funny. So, yeah, I liked it there. So them coming together, I think it was the perfect marriage. And I thought it was really good and never really felt out of place. But I did feel like in some moments it just droned on a little bit too long. But yeah, for a 2-hour and 30-minute movie.
Yeah. So what about, speaking of the Guardians, what did you think of Teenage Groot?
Yeah, I wish they would explain how he became a teenager all of a sudden. Because I don't know, when the last Guardians came out last year. So I don't know how much time really has passed in between that time for them. Which I guess we'd never really know because when do we last see them? Yeah, there's nothing really connecting the fibers to what we see in the rest of what's going on. So it could have been years ago. It could have been a few months ago. Exactly. We don't know.
Yeah. But
I thought Groot was cool. The rebellious teenager who wanted to play video games, they played on that trope, but very much it got annoying at the end. But I just would have liked to have known how he got so big, you know. What about yourself?
Yeah. I kind of liked him. I wish actually that we would have seen more character development from him. You know, even though we did see some, and there's only so much character development you can do for Groot. So, you know, I know you got that, but I like seeing Drax. I like seeing Mantis. The innocence she has, the dry one-liners that he has. I mean, they just work for me.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember, where did we leave the Guardians in this movie?
Groot
and Rocket were on Earth for the first time. But everybody else, where
weren't they? Weren't they there? They were there with Iron Man. Because remember, and I think as far as Guardians go, there's only Peter. Peter's the only one left, isn't he? Other than Rocket on Earth.
Oh, so we're talking about deaths already?
No, well, no, I mean, we did the spoiler.
You're right. They did go to meet Peter, Tony Stark, and the rest of the guys that are on that planet, Thanos' homeworld, whatever it was called. I can't remember.
It's one of the rings of Saturn. I can't remember. Or moons of Saturn, excuse me. Crap, I can't remember. But anyway.
Yeah, and we talked about places just briefly, but I like how they established different places in this movie. And I think the Guardian movies in large part have pretty much helped the space part become more enduring to us. Because any of the space things never ever felt out of place to me. Even though we had Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, and Iron Man all in space, which is just different. But the space things never felt out of place because we kind of established that with the Guardians being gallivanting about space as well as, you know, Thor in Thor 3. So I really felt like the space stuff just worked. It didn't feel out of place at all. Although in large part, that's the first time we've seen a lot of these characters in that environment.
And here's why I think it worked. You didn't have that moment to where, you know, let's just say you're on Earth and the Avengers press a trouble alert or something and they pick up the alert and here arrive the Guardians. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, you didn't have that. It just seemed organic.
Yeah, it was very much organic. And, I mean, of course, you know, I like how, we talk about it being organic, but I like how Peter as well as Stark and Doctor Strange all ended up in space. They just kind of hitched a ride, which I thought was really good. Yeah. So how did you like Spider-Man in this movie?
Oh, he was freaking awesome. I liked him. Yeah, you didn't?
I mean, I thought he was really, really good. Man, he fits in with the MCU, man. He just needs to stay and never go and forget about that Sony stuff.
Right.
I did have a good theory that I thought to myself.
Tell us.
Since Peter is, I mean, spoiler mark again. Since Peter is presumably gone, what if this Venom movie takes place in a Earth scenario where Peter Parker never existed?
Ah, good. Interesting.
So I think if you think of that, maybe it can make sense that it's in San Francisco and that, you know, we don't see Spider-Man anywhere. Though we don't know if it's the alien symbiote or a lab symbiote this time in that movie. Do we know that yet?
I don't think it's, I mean, we don't know that, but it doesn't look like it's an alien, but we don't know that.
So more of the ultimate thing.
Yeah, I think so. So, let's get on to some of the bad guys. We've been talking about the good guys. Let's talk about the bad guys for a second. What did you think of the Black Order themselves?
I thought they were really, I don't want to use the word good. I thought they were really, challenging for, our heroes. I thought they allowed us to have these moments of team up before we got to the big bad. And I think that was their purpose. I thought they were pretty formidable, but our heroes kind of outsmarted them in a lot of ways to defeat them. So I really enjoyed that. What about you?
You know, you would think probably that I would know each of them by name, and I have to look up their names every time. So they, to me, are very forgettable. They are just created in my mind to be so formidable that it's hard to beat them, but there's no character development behind them. And they're relatively new. They only came about in, I think, 2010, 2012, somewhere about that. So they've only been, you know, they've been around less than 10 years. So they don't really, they impress me in a sense of how powerful they are. They don't impress me as character.
I don't know. I think their abilities that they did use were wisely put up against the people they actually wound up fighting. I think that meshed pretty well together. Like the guy that was fighting Doctor Strange. Again, we don't know their names, but I thought he was pretty well matched, ability per ability. And they had the big hulking dude fighting, the Hulk as he tried to hook out for the first time and couldn't really. So I thought that was really good. I just think the matchups is what made it work really well for me.
Yeah, I will give them credit for how they did that. And the one that I do remember, Proxima Midnight, the woman, I was so happy when she got killed. I was like, yes, bloodlust there, but yes.
So when we talk about the villain matchups, we have this matchup where it's Vision and Scarlet Witch. Now, did Scarlet Witch actually fly in the previous movies?
No, she didn't.
Whatever her power, I really liked that in the movie. I was kind of shocked, but I thought it was freaking awesome. What did you think?
It looked awesome. She was awesome. I liked that she got more screen time. I liked seeing the relationship between her and Vision. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, and again, in a movie that's packed with so much, they managed to kind of establish this relationship with her and Vision. As well as, I think the other good thing we got as far as storyline, we got a pretty decent backstory for Gamora, which I wasn't expecting that in this movie.
No, I wasn't expecting that either. And I wasn't expecting, well, I wasn't expecting a lot of things with her, but I want to go back to Vision and, Scarlet Witch real quick, because I have a question for you of something that I didn't quite understand. Were they with Cap and Natasha and the Falcon, Sam, were they with them or did they just come and rescue them? I didn't quite understand that.
From my understanding, as an agreement for them to go live off in the middle of nowhere, of course, Iron Man, Tony Stark didn't know where they were, didn't know where Vision, Scarlet Witch were. But I think as part of their agreement, they had to keep checking in with Cap and Freeman.
Got you.
So I think that what that was.
So what did you think of the new look of Captain America? Because I've seen a lot of people be crazy over the fact of, oh, well, you know, he didn't look like Captain America. Well, did that bother you?
Well, it made that moment when Thor said, I see you've grown a beard or something to that effect. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
I thought he looked bad A. You know, I thought he was awesome. I didn't so much like the shield he got from Wakanda, but other than that, I thought the new look, the darker, more grittier look, I think it works because you can't be Boy Wonder throughout the movie verse. I think they did the same thing with Thor. I mean, they made Thor more darker, more gritty. And, you know, I'm all for more grittier beard cap. I thought he looked a little more menacing.
And relatable. Yeah, and relatable to some degree.
I don't know.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If you lived in a world that you saw Captain America and you saw Superman, which one would be more relatable?
As he is in this movie or as he is normally?
Okay, why don't we say as they are in their most recent movies, Justice League, Avengers Infinity War, which one would be more relatable out of the two?
Well, let me take the question you're asking and just flip it a little bit. I don't think the beard makes him more relatable. I'll just say it to myself. I think it makes him grittier, not more relatable. If Barack Obama grew a beard as president, I wouldn't think he'd be more relatable. I just think he'd be a little bit more grittier.
Okay, you know? All right, I get you.
So I don't get the relatable part of it for me, but maybe you can expound.
Okay, so where I'm going with that is there's an iconic look for Superman. There's an iconic look for Captain America. This clean shaven, the bright colors, the happy smiles, and at some point they become too much of a ideal, or you know what I'm saying, or a thought than a person.
Well, that's just about my same. That's why I kind of alluded to Thor earlier. They went from Thor being this locked god and so, I don't know, cheesy in a sense, to making him, I guess you can say, more relatable. But to me, it just made him more awesome. Cool. So,
well, relatable, awesome. The fact is we liked him better. That's the ultimate. What did you think of Loki and his demise so early on?
I mean, I think it was necessary for Thor to get to drive Thor to the next level on some things. But in large part, I think Loki has kind of had it coming for the longest. So, you know, it was kind of interesting to see him. I don't know if he was doing it for personal gain or doing it for his brother. We don't know. But we do see where he tries to take out Thanos. And it was cool to see him make that character change at the end. So I'm happy for him in that sense. Am I sad he's gone? No, not really. Yeah. Which is bad to say. But.
Well, here's the thing with Loki. You can never trust him. So you go into it from the perspective of, don't trust anything that he does. So, you know, I personally was glad he was gone early on because I didn't want it to be a repeat of Avengers 1. And I didn't, you know, I don't want to have to worry about, can you trust Loki? So I was happy with the fact that he was off, you know, so early on.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can agree with that, sir.
So what was another scene that just popped out to you?
I can tell you what I didn't like in the movie. Okay. And I think as much as I want to like Mark Ruffalo, he's just not my Hulk, man. He's just not my Hulk. I can't, I know people like him, but I don't think his acting in this movie and in Thor for that matter was very good. He was not believable as his baffling idiot kind of in a way. And not so much an idiot, but he was, you know, trying to get his point across over to a witty Tony Stark and friends. And I just didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And I didn't like him in Thor either, man. I think I really wish they would have brought Ed Norton over, man. Because I just think he's a better Bruce Banner than me. I just think he embodies that Bill Bixby type of Hulk that I love. And I'm just not really a Mark Ruffalo fan. I don't know. I didn't like it from the beginning. And in this movie, I think he was the worst he's been, since he's been the Hulk.
So what is it about him? Is it a way that he portrays the character, or is it a look about him? You know, what is it that's anti-Hulkish or anti-Bannerish?
Okay, Bill Bixby / Ed Norton, skinny, tall guy. So that might have something to do with it. I don't know. Well, not tall, but they're just a skinny guy, a slimmer guy. So I don't know. That might have something to do with it. But I just don't believe it when he's doing the sniveling, like, pleading to the rest of the heroes to do a certain thing. I just don't believe the acting, and that might just be me, but I just don't believe the acting. I don't know. I didn't like him in his movie. He's probably the worst character to me in this movie.
Okay, so here's my thought. And it's not necessarily that I don't like how he's, you know, acting. It's more of a sense of I see Bruce Banner as sort of like the creepy, awkward, intellectual dude that's not really comfortable around people. And so he portrays it more so as there's no creepy about him. It's just awkward. And maybe I'm looking for a little creepiness because that's how I kind of see Bruce Banner a little bit.
And, you know, coming from the 80s Hulk, I just think I love it when Hulk evokes a sense of loneliness more than anything. You say creepy, I'll say lonely.
Okay.
And to me, this guy does not evoke loneliness to me. I just don't get it. But hey.
So let's get away from the loneliness creepy and get into something that I thought was fantastically done, which was how they presented Thanos. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
What do you think?
I think they did a good job of showing Thanos' purpose, which, you know, as far as evil villains go, I guess, you know, that's a pretty good purpose. And I do like how, again, going back to how they established some of Gamora's backstory, I like how although they didn't show his relationship to the rest of the Black Order, because aren't the Black Order his kids as well?
Yeah, that's what they say, but I've never figured out how they are his kids. Whether is literal children or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah, so they pretty much skated over that, but they went into more of the backstory of Gamora, as well as we saw him having interactions with Nebula.
Right.
So I really like that, establishing that, as well as what we're led to believe in the beginning is a sense of love for Gamora, which I very much felt that, though I'm still puzzled as to did he keep her because she knew where the whichever stone that was. Soul Stone. Yeah, the one that we thought was in the Wakanda. I thought was in the
Wakanda. Yeah, I did too, for that matter.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if he only kept her around because of that, or did he truly love her, which I think he did. I kind of felt like he truly loved her. And just to go on about Thanos as a villain, I think they did a good job not only in making him more so relatable. They also did a good job with just the visual effects of him of realizing this all CG character on screen. I thought they just did an immaculate job of bringing him to life. And I mean, I think I told you this, but you know, I just want this movie in 4K to just be on a loop with all the Thanos scenes, because it should not work. But this guy who doesn't really look like any human, we know he's this purple thing running around, big and hulky. But man, they really, really make him work on screen and make him feel tangible and believable. And I didn't, you know, I think we all have this eye about stuff that doesn't look just right. Although it didn't look just right, I never was in his disbelief that, oh, that's not a real character.
See, I'll take it one step further. I had to a couple of times remind me that this is a CGI character. It, especially when they did the emotional scenes where they actually showed him crying at one point. And, yeah. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm actually saying, oh, I shouldn't like you, but I'm feeling for you. And, oh, wait, you're not even real. And I think that is a testament of what you just said, that they did everything technically right in producing this generated character that was so well done.
And they managed to establish weight with this character. And I mean it in the sense of emotionally, because we should not care that Thanos wants to kill somebody. He does it all the time. Why do we care? But when he's put in this position and even Gamora laughs, it's this ultimate irony moment of to actually get what he really wants, he has to off somebody he loves. And her knowing how sinister and how evil this dude feels to her, having been raised by him, she just knows there's nobody that he loves. There's nobody in the world that the dude loves. So she just laughs it off like, you're not going to get what you want. And yeah, we see what happens then.
Were you shocked by that?
No, I saw it coming. I mean, as soon as they said he had to take somebody he loved, I'm like, oh, you finna die. You finna die.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is what's about to happen. What I did not see coming was the person that was the protector of the, Soul Risk. Stone, which was, which was totally out of left field. And yes. Did you like that?
I thought it was great. It tied us all the way back to the first Cap movie, which, it was just awesome when he took that hood down and we saw the Red Skull. And for that matter, I like how the story elements of why he was there. He got put there because he was trying to collect the Infinity Stones for himself. And they kind of made the statement, like, anybody that comes too close to him may be put here if they get too close to trying to retrieve the Soul Stone. So, story justification I thought was really good. I thought maybe there would be more of his type of characters there, since I'm pretty sure more people were trying to retrieve the Soul Stone, but it was only him, which was fine. We know him.
Right.
But yes, I love that moment with him on there. And again, just the Tesseract, tying us back all the way to the first Avengers movie, all of these 10 years of interweaving stories, and this is the moment where it all just comes together. So testament to Marvel on that.
Yep. This is very much a testament of, you look at the long game and you play the long game and you don't rush yourself and you do it right. And that's what they did. They took their time, and they were lucky enough that audiences embraced these characters. Cause I remember when I would go into comic shops back in 2005, 2006, and it was even talk about they're going to make an Iron Man movie. And I can remember people making jokes saying, oh, really? Like, someone's going to go see that. Oh, like, really? Someone's going to go see a Thor movie. And now 10 years later, you've got three of them. You've got Ant-Man, one of the most obscure original Marvel, heroes he may be, but you have an Ant-Man and you're about to have an Ant-Man sequel.
Well, I mean, in large part to Marvel, and I think in even larger part to perfect timing. I mean, not only, I guess Disney bought Marvel soon after, but you have this where, thinking more of a technical, techie side of things, these movies are starting to come out hitting right when technology has took a big advance into making some of this computer generated imagery being able to be realized on screen and realized in a believable fashion. I think Spider-Man started that. The first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies is where it really started to take off. But when you get to Iron Man, it's really at a point to where they can really do some miraculous things with computer generated graphics.
Well, and add in a little bit of realism to that. We had gotten to the point in technology, we were seeing, look at cell phones back then, how quickly they were advancing, and our computers were advancing. So it was not outside the realm of possibility for someone to create a battle armor that someone might could actually wear into battle.
A little bit more.
Right. A little bit more believable. So are you ready to talk about the final scenes and kind of get into that? Or is there any other scenes that just kind of stood out to you?
Let's talk a little bit more about the Iron Spider suit. I don't know that much about it, but what did you think of that?
I didn't really like the Iron Spider suit from the comics. But I liked how they presented it. It was cool. I just didn't, like it from the comics, but in realistic terms, that is something that Tony Stark created for Peter. So this was something that Tony Stark created for Peter. So the parallel from the comic was there. So I'm cool with it. What did you think?
I like how it wasn't just there to say, oh, we're fulfilling a comic thing to make it realized in a movie. But I like the fact that it was actually useful. We see several scenes where, like, he's rolling on the ground. It, like, stretches and cages around him, and parts where he's trying to grab onto something, the legs dig off into the ground. So instead of it just being there, I like the fact that it was more so useful in the movie. they definitely used it in the plot of the movie. So let me ask you, on CG things, let's talk about the lack of a Hulk and this Hulkbuster, Bruce Banner in Hulkbuster armor. But did you like that? I mean,
no, I did not like that. Totally did not like that. And that fed into some of what you said, in my opinion. Not that I'm agreeing, I mean, saying that that's what made you think it, but it's why I agree with you, which is you had him running around in a computer-generated Hulkbuster armor. Why couldn't you just have him running around as the Hulk?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I mean, you didn't need another Iron Person because you had Rhodey on braces being able to walk in the War Machine armor. So,
man, it's just been more expensive to do. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why they made the choice. While interesting, I wish eventually we would have got Hulk. I think that would have been much more interesting than just him piloting the Hulkbuster armor. So I don't know.
So let me ask you a question on that same note or that same vein there, which is, do you think there was a story reason that the Hulk refused to come out? Because that goes against, for me, who the Hulk is. But what do you think?
The only thing I can see is they may be setting up the next Hulk movie. That may could be the justification for that. We do know that Hulk survives at the end. I think, yes, he did. Yeah. He survives. So that might be a big thing going into the next movie. He finally figures out how to change, and it's a big, you know, Hulk is back thing. I don't know.
Do you think it'll be another version of the Hulk if he changes?
I hope not. Yeah, we don't need that.
I don't want that, but I was curious.
What do you think about Wakanda as a whole in this movie?
I didn't like what happened to Wakanda, but I love seeing Wakanda again.
It didn't get completely decimated, I don't think, but it definitely war of this place that pretty much no one has known about forever. And we get post Black Panther movie, we get Wakanda pretty much in deep stuff.
Yeah. You know, I didn't like from the perspective of we had just come off of seeing Wakanda and we were still riding the high of Black Panther, the movie. And I didn't like the next time we see it, it's attacked and then you've got this destruction going on. I didn't like that.
Well, to take that on to present times, when we talked about, you know, Black Panther and the movie and how we also related it to like the wall, how we're trying to get a wall here in America, or the president wants a wall. But lo and behold, as soon as people know who they are, they're out in the world, people are coming in to try to attack them. I thought that was really, I don't know if there was bigger, what's the words I'm trying to, I don't know if there was a metaphor to something else there. I don't know. But still, I agree with you. I don't like the fact that, you know, as soon as they're out in the open, as soon as people know who they are, you know, they're getting attacked. And that has more to do with who was there rather than, you know, them being a nation. So I guess you could take it that way,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
The vision sort of never came
point.
There. Yeah.
I did like the fact that even though that it wasn't a wall, it was a nice dome, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, the dome was cool. I really liked that. I just like seeing Wakanda again because every single time I see the general of the guard, I keep realizing I went and sat through that whole freaking movie not realizing she was Michonne from Walking Dead. And that just, every time I see her, makes me want to watch it again.
Oh, man. And I guess you said you wanted to get to the end and the deaths and stuff. Man, people audibly were like, oh, no, you didn't, when Black Panther faded away. People were audibly mad in the theater. And I was like, wow.
All right. So let me ask you a question. So originally this movie was entitled Infinity War Part 1 and then Infinity War Part 2. And then they said, no, we're changing the names. At what point in the movie of you sitting there did you realize this is not going to be wrapped up at the end of this?
I already knew because I knew Infinity War Part 2 was coming out.
Okay.
If you go to Marvel.com/movies, it shows like their lineup.
Yeah, and it's May 2019.
Yeah, so I already knew that was coming. So I wasn't really expecting it to be wrapped up because, I mean, just on the surface of it, it's too much to get through already in one sitting, you know?
Well, so believe it or not, I did think it was going to wrap up. And, you know, I thought, and since it's already happened, my spoiler won't be a spoiler because it didn't happen. I thought the Scarlet Witch would reset reality at the end. That was my thought.
Well, they really made it seem like nobody was going to die. You know,
yes.
They really made it seem like it was going to wrap up in a perfect bow. You know, of course, people died, but, you know, not to the scale which, if you knew anything about the movies, you knew what happened. So it was like, okay, everything was going to be okay. But they early on, they established, like, once he gets these stones with a snap of a finger, things could change. And they literally went there with the snap of a finger. And, you know, it looked like everything still might be okay, but slowly but surely.
All right. So, I want to go back to just a few minutes before the snap. Okay.
Okay.
We see this whole fight. And we see in this fight that, you know, Peter and Tony and, well, all of them, they're fighting the Guardians, and Peter and Tony, Iron Man and Spider-Man are fighting Thanos, and they're about to pull off the glove, the gauntlet. What did you think of that with what Peter did?
Oh, man. You had to see it coming. You had to see it coming. But, you know, I just wish he could have held it a little bit longer, because he would have, you know, two things. That was the first thing that could have very much ended this whole Thanos killing half 50% of the population thing. But not only that, at the very end, unless Doctor Strange saw a reality that giving Thanos the stone made everything okay, why does he give Thanos the time gem?
That's the only thing I can wrap my head around, is that one out of 14 million or whatever is what he did is what helps them in the second one win. But he had to do that.
Yeah, and that could very well be the case. And if that's the case, I'm all right with it. But it just felt out of place when he had already established that, forget you, Peter, forget you, Tony, I'm protecting this gym. That's my whole purpose in life. And then he just gives it up.
Yeah, unless there's a reason. You know, that's the only thing to me that makes sense, is there had to have been a reason.
Certainly.
But yeah, I felt for Peter. I mean, I knew it was coming, and of course, you know, it had to happen in order to have the ending. But I'm like you, if there would have been 30 seconds more, they could have had it. And even if, you know what, even if they would have gotten it off for a second, that would have been cool. And then he had to break away and then get it back. That I would have liked to have seen, but I was like, no, don't do that. And then, you know, you had that, and but it's understandable. He was in love with Gamora, and yeah, he realizes that he killed her.
And this movie was very much, you know, Gamora, Vision, and Scarlet Witch vignettes of these love stories going all throughout. Stark and what's her name at the very beginning?
Yes, Pepper. So,
yeah, Pepper Potts. So yeah, I mean, I definitely feel his pain, and he had good reason to be mad. But if he could have just held off for a little bit longer, he could have really beat him to a pulp once Peter got the gauntlet off his hands.
Right.
So let me ask you this.
What about the ones you didn't see?
What do you mean?
Ant-Man.
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye's never been my favorite.
Thank you.
The thing that I liked about Hawkeye is the connective tissue. From the first Thor movie, I guess him, and I guess it's Coulson as well. But Hawkeye's never been my favorite. I do like the actor, which I can't remember his name right now.
Jeremy Renner.
So yeah, he really doesn't fit in. And for that matter, I don't know how well Natasha fits in with these base god like people fighting. She still manages to hold her own, which I think is awesome, but. I'm thinking about that fight was, it was her as well as, what's her name?
I just call her the general.
Her, I wish I knew her name. I know it is on tip of my tongue, but her as well as, you know, they're normal people, not normal by any means, but they're people fighting this alien with godlike powers, which seems like she uses the godlike powers when she wants to. It seems like she could have easily knocked off both of them. So I don't know. This,
I tell you, one, I tell the, you, one of the parts that was one of my favorite in the fight scene, other than Thor arriving, is when Wanda, you know, comes out and starts fighting on the battlefield. That to me was really, really cool. And showcased how powerful she is.
When who came out? I'm sorry.
Wanda, Scarlet Witch.
Oh yeah. She was a Okoye. Yeah, I had to look up her name. Shame on me for not remembering that.
Shame on me too. So, but she is a general.
Yeah. So, any other takeaways before we just dig into the death a little bit more?
You know what? I really can't say other than I did like seeing, you know, all this stuff happening in Wakanda because it showed these characters that you really liked from the last movie. So yeah, let's get into the snapping of the fingers and 50% go away.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Does Hindo look a lot different in this movie to you? Because to me, it almost didn't even look like Idris Elba in the beginning scenes there. He looked a lot different for some reason, even though I knew it was him. I don't know.
I really didn't pay that much attention to him as far as did he look different. I just was like, okay, does he have a stone? And after I realized he didn't and he sent the Hulk, I was like, okay, you're dead.
Yeah. And real quick, we're going to talk about the deaths, but I also liked how Thanos almost acts like he's doing a service for this 50%, you know, population decrease thing. He adamantly believes he's doing the right thing, as so much to where he has his son, one of his sons, just going around professing that some of you are going to die. You're doing, this is going to be great for you guys, you know, sort of like a religious cultish thing that the guy's going around chanting, that's going to happen to the planet they try to take over. So, and he makes what can be considered maybe a good argument when he talks about Gamora's planet and how they killed half the population. And now it's a thriving culture. So he's waiting all this villainy that he's doing in some sense of that he's doing the right thing, which I thought played well for the movie.
Well, you know, look at, you go back to the 1930s in Germany and, you know, Hitler, when he rose to power in the, you know, line that he fed to all the people was it's because of, you know, this group and that group and this group and that group these people are being suppressed, you get rid of them and look at all the great things that would happen. So, you know, everybody that's that type of character has some kind of line like that. And the sad thing about Thanos's portrayal in this is it's not like he's out to, I want the stones because I want to take over the universe and be so powerful. It's, I have this thing in my mind that I'm going to do this. So it's not like I want to be king of the universe kind of thing.
Very much so.
So let me ask you this. Do you think it would have played differently had they stayed true to the comic story, which is he did the same trying to kill people, but it was to appease the person or the concept of which he was in love with, which was the personification of death?
I like this justification better.
Me too.
I mean, if you're going to relate it to, was it Hela?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was too soon to try to relate a character that we only saw briefly in the Thor 3 movie. Did she get killed in the Thor 3? I can't remember.
Well, she got banished, but now the personification of death and Hela are two different beings.
Okay, there you go. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so.
the concept of death is similar to, in Marvel Universe, they have a personification of eternity and infinity and, you know, all these other things. There's something called the Great Tribunal and the In-Betweener and other, it's all these concept things.
The fact that you just said all that stuff makes me glad they put it in because it sounds stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, I like the way they did it here. It makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Agreed. Totally agree.
So do you remember who was the first person to dust away? I don't remember.
Was it Bucky?
It may have been. It may have been.
Yeah, I think it was Bucky. It was, man, dude, you could hear a pin drop when that was happening until Black Panther died. And people like, ah! But wow, talking about leaving the theater on an emotional downer. Wow. And not even a madness. It was just like, what? No.
Yeah.
You know, it was, to me, they took people that you didn't expect them to take.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We had had debates, and there were so many people betting on the fact, well, Tony Stark's going to die, and Captain America's going to die. Neither one of them died.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. Yeah. And again, we talked about how they've, over the last 10 years, they've established this rapport with these characters. They even showed the 10 in the Marvel Studios at the beginning of the movie. Like, we had 10 years to grow with these characters, and in a snap of the finger, they're just gone. And even in this movie, they managed to establish some connections between some characters that we didn't have before. I think of, what's the guy's name? Rhodey, and what's the Falcon.
Yes.
They kind of formed this camaraderie in this movie. And, you know, at the end when people are fading away, Rhodey is just asking, Falcon, where are you? And seconds ago, he just faded away into oblivion. Oh, man. They just really played up the emotion in that last moment. And wow, hats off.
Yeah, I was, you know, watching the scene of where Wanda is having to basically murder the Vision, you know, kill the Vision, deactivate, you know, destroy the stone. And, you know, as she's doing that, and then she succeeds in destroying the stone. And it's all this thing that they've been working for the entire movie to do and protect the Vision. With one, you know, like gesture, he turns back time and then kills her and then rips it, you know, out of the Vision, which to me was like, I like Wanda and I didn't want her to die. So,
yeah. Did you think Doctor Strange would die?
I, at that point, once I started seeing it happen, it was like, you know, I'm not going to be surprised if anybody dies at this point.
Yeah.
Who was the most tragic for you?
I think it's pretty obvious. You know, they saved, Peter was not, I think he was the last one they showed. And other than the after credit sequence, and the whole time, like, especially after, T'Challa died, I was like, you better not. You better not. I just started shaking my head. You better not do it. You better not do it. And of course, it was like as slow as they were going, this is probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes before they got to him. I was just still like, you better not do it. And then he's like, Mr. Stark, what's happening?
I don't feel so good.
Oh, my God. You better not do it. But of course,
they did it. They did it.
And man, that was the one that really got me. That's the one that got me. I was like, man, y'all are some horrible human beings.
But look at it, from the perspective of the next movie, when you get to the point of Tony having to deal with the fact that he did that. He's the one that put Peter in the situation.
Though he did tell Peter to go home. And
he did. He did.
Oh, man. And then pretty much most of the Guardians didn't make it. Right. So,
but we do know that I speculate, you know, spoiler speculation, you know, they're going to come back because they came back in the comic, you know.
Yeah. To kill off so many, we pretty much know they're going to come back. So
they're not going to kill off Black Panther. Come on now.
Just a bit of year and some odd days of waiting until we get a resolution for this. Because isn't it like May of next year?
Yeah, May the 3rd, I think, of next year.
So did they probably shot them both together, I believe.
I would assume. I mean, as many people as they had to get together, I would imagine that they would have, but, you know, who knows?
Oh, man.
I know you went with a group of people. What was the consensus just in general that were they, you know, kind of like you, how could they do that? Or
everybody just felt horrible. Everybody just felt horrible. We were just like in shock to a large extent. It was like 8 of us. We just like standing in the circle. Everybody just like shaking.
Wow.
And we even had a dude come out that wasn't even with us. He just saw us all standing. He's like, is this the Infinity War circle? He jumped in. It was this eccentric black guy. And he was just like, oh, man, I can't. Oh, he's just jumping around. It was hilarious. And yeah, man, we just kind of in shock about it.
The interesting thing was with the set of people that I was in the theater with, none of the responses you said from the crowd, I didn't hear any of that. It was just like stone cold silent throughout.
Really?
Yeah. And then whenever, you know, it was time to walk out, people didn't even still, it was just total silence.
Well, I mean, by the time we were walking out, it was total silence. But, you know, up until when people were off and you just hear audible gasps throughout the theater. And I will say you went on a Thursday, so you were more in the diehard in the know crowd.
Right.
So you think more of them might be more emotional, but I'm looking at that going on a Friday. I think I was there with more of the people who were just pure fans of the movie characters, less so the comic book. And maybe a lot of those were Black Panther people who jumped on to Marvel because of Black Panther. And, you know, I just think it's a time where people, if they weren't into all the movies, they may have just been into Captain America or just into Iron Man. But of course, they're going to come to see this. And again, people are coming with this weight of 10 years of having known these characters and really love these characters. And to see somebody die the way they died.
Yes.
In the fashion they died, just fading away into nothingness. It just surprising.
And this is going to sound morbid for me to say this, but I like the fact that they didn't just fade away, because every time they died, I'm hearing in my head the phrase ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Yeah.
And that's what we see, you know, even with Nick Fury, even with Maria Hill, you know, they just dust away literally. And, you know, even down to that minor detail, I compliment, you know, how they did that. And yes, I agree. If I didn't know the comic history and I'm sitting there and I'm going, holy blank, I just watched this dude on Black Panther and now he's gone. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even me knowing some of that, I was still the same way. You know, everybody was pretty much freaking choked up in these last moments of seeing these characters die. And the way they played, again, I'll just give testament to the way they played Peter's death, man. It was so impactful, and such a blue-eyed, bushy-tailed kid getting caught up into something. You're an Avenger now. I mean, being caught up into something that maybe he wasn't completely ready for.
Right. Go ahead.
No, well, I'm going to go off on a different tangent. So if you have something about the movie.
No, go ahead.
So we have to look into where this is going to play into other Marvel properties that are on the small screen as well as Netflix. Will the war have any impact? Is there even going to be another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season? I don't know. Will it have impact to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. world? Will it have impact into the Marvel Netflix world until 2019? Will we see that, or is it just going to be something that's totally devoid of what's going on in the movies? 50% of the population now, so it should impact them in some sense.
Yeah, but I would say it won't impact, simply because part two will be taking effect, I would assume, immediately after part one. So we're just not seeing what happens until next year.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
You know, they may refer to it from the perspective of, oh, the battle, you know, against Thanos, or the battle in Wakanda or something.
So you think it's going to take place immediately with no time pass? And, well, I guess more so, when does the resolution take place? I guess that's the more important part of it. Does it get time gapped back to the moment they disappeared as if they never left? Or in the sense of the story, I'm going to be spend a year or two with none of these characters around, and they're trying to form a resistance.
It could be that it doesn't even really matter if it's 5 years or 50 years or 500, because if they use the gauntlet to correct everything, they just go back in time and make it instantaneous, you know, like a reset button.
Yeah. I don't know if I like that as much. Huh.
But you know, what if they do a complete reset button to where they reset the Marvel U in its entirety and start over for phase four?
I hope they don't do that. That would be dumb. Yeah.
But what if?
Yeah, you know the comics, so you know what happens. So I'll just leave it at that.
No, all I know is they came back. I mean, it was in the same comic. You know, it was like they die in episode three and then are issue three, and they're back by issue five or six or whatever it was.
So maybe no time passes. So I guess we'll see in next year sometime.
So what would you, if you had to give, I know you've said, you know, your enjoyment level, but if you had to give this movie on a scale of 1 to 5, what would you give it?
10.
5.
Yeah, 5.
All right. I'm going to go with 5 too. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed this.
And I know you like to compare it to what's done on the DC side. It's, to me, it's just a different ball game. It's not even worth comparing those two.
No, exactly. There's no comparison. This is a well done superhero movie that is a group of superheroes telling a story that is told well.
Yeah.
There is nothing I can compare that to on the DC side.
So. And I always go back to the relatability of the characters. It's just no comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, Superman dies to a thud and pretty much in the Batman v Superman movie. Spoilers, sorry. So, Yeah.
There's no comparison. I mean, you know, I could compare, you know, there are several ways actually I could compare Wonder Woman and Black Panther, which we have kind of set some similarities between the breaking the ceilings, so to speak, amongst both of them from an individual character. So, but as a group, no, there is nothing at DC on DC movies from Warner Brothers that would compare to Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah. So I'm going to pivot. Let's talk a little bit about the pre-movie trailers.
Okay.
You know, I admit it. I've already said that the crowd that was pretty emotional. I'll say that when the Incredibles 2 trailer came up, people were freaking wilding out fantastic. And I want to talk about something that ended with a thud.
Okay.
The Solo trailer. People were not – nobody cheered. Nobody got happy. It was like a –
So long.
Yeah, nobody was excited or I don't know what it is in a movie, but people don't seem to be excited for it. I can't say what it is. I don't know.
Are you going to
I
see
can
it?
Get my own gripes it? For it, but people were not excited.
So are you going to
so
see
are
it?
You going to see it?
Yeah. What? I'm crazy.
Well, I'm not excited for it, but yeah, I'm going to see it.
I'm not excited. I wasn't excited for Rogue One, but it wowed me.
Okay. But I think I was more excited to go see Rogue One of people that I did not even know who were than what I've seen of Solo.
Yeah. And again, like, I'm just talking about trailer reaction. Like, usually when there's a Star Wars trailer of a movie that's coming out soon in a theater for that is more or less maybe it was on other movies before. Maybe they showed the trailer before, but nobody got excited, like zero people. And that's just weird to me because usually when there's a Star Wars trailer, people are somebody like, you know, like yeah, some, you know, somebody's excited about it. But nobody was. I looked around to people I was sitting with. They was like, that's a movie.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Do you think a part of that plays into the sound, meaning that iconic tune that you hear? To me, my heart rate. You know, I can feel my heart rate racing of excitement just hearing the Star Wars music.
Maybe. I don't know what it is, man. So, I don't know.
I mean, and it doesn't have it on that because I'm telling you, if I were to hear this, I mean, you could put, you know, strap me into a blood pressure thing and there will be a blood, because there's something about that music that's so iconic that gets people, you know, like excited for the story. Maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Cool. All right. Well, any other things Infinity War that you want to talk about?
Nah. I think I'm done.
All right. Well, I will say this. One thing that I've noticed, and a shameless plug here, that we have our YouTube channel, which is the Discussing Network. I've seen that there is some interest in like Captain Marvel because there are people watching the Captain Marvel videos. So something has sparked interest in the fandom of wanting to know more about who is Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I think it's only you that hates her. So
I'm ready to be reconverted. I'm telling you, I'm ready to be reconverted.
She's going to be awesome.
Reconditioned or whatever.
It's Marvel. Do you really doubt? This is Marvel doing this movie. Disney, do you really doubt it's going to be good? They made Ant-Man exciting. Come on,
dude. We shall see. I hope it is. I hope I walk around saying, oh, she's better than Wonder Woman. Probably won't, but that would be cool. All right. So if anybody was wanting to find out anything else that you might be working on, where could they go and where could they find out?
Sure. If you want to find out more about what I'm working on, just go to discussingtrek.com to check out our Star Trek Discovery reviews and more.
All right. Good deal. And like I mentioned just a moment ago, if you want to check out our YouTube channel and also subscribe, you can go to youtube.com/discussingnetwork.
Yeah, YouTube.com.
And if you want to, yeah. And if you want to check out some of our other things, you can blah, blah, blah. I'll just edit it out. I said backslash, and I recorded it even.
It's fine, man. You can, you don't have to edit that.
All right. So anyone listening, just know that I constantly get critiqued over my use of the word backlash, whatever. Backlash, that's a WWE pay-per-view. So anyway, so before my brain totally dies here, we're going to say thanks for listening, and we'll be back next time.